The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Devin Simone.
And I'm Tori Deal, and this is MTV's official challenge podcast.
Girl, this was an episode.
What's a lot going on?
What is with you guys this season with like multiple personalities? Because I feel like we will see one side of someone and we're like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then another episode, I mean, we saw it with Jonna. We saw it with Chaosity. Mm-hmm. We are seeing it. We even kind of saw it with Bananas when he went from like usual confident Bananas to his Godfather speech of woe is me. Like, this is just, and this week with Dusty the teddy bear. Like,
and then with Wes as well. Like,
yes!
We get both of them having moments.
Yeah. Yes. Although I'm still not sure if Wes's woe is me wasn't more political than not.
Okay.
Because not that Wes isn't like heartfelt and we don't get to see that side. It's there. But like, remember, Wes's like best asset is that Wes is a top tier mind upon mind upon mind strategist.
Can I say something that makes me feel like it was authentic?
Okay. Tell us.
So, you know, we all have one 10-minute phone call, sometimes twice a week.
Yep.
Every time before his phone call, he would be a ball of anxiety because he would just be worried that he was going to get bad news about the pregnancy or something.
Yeah.
So I think it was just truly a time of like, really, my wife, I can't even talk to my wife that much, and she has a baby growing inside her. Like,
yeah.
So I do think I'm going to give him the benefit
of the doubt. But I didn't mean that part not being genuine. I meant more of the woe is me around going into elimination. Like, that part I believed was real. Like, obviously, he adores his wife and being a new dad. Like, that I felt was very genuine. I meant just the part of, like, make it a girl, because we've seen him all season sort of say, now I'm going to be the funny person. Now I'm going to be this person, like kind of strategize to stay out of the elimination. So I want to say not the new dad part. That I think was 1,000% like real and raw.
Right.
But just his, I mean, even Dusty was surprised by how many girls got voted in.
Yeah.
Possibly thanks to Wes's politicking, right? And being like,
yeah,
were you surprised?
Oh my God, of course. I thought it was going to be straight Dusty all day.
Yeah.
I knew obviously Wes was going to vote for a girl. I knew Dusty was going to vote for a girl.
Right.
And then it was like, you know what really surprised me?
What?
Michelle voting for Dusty, because not that she owed anything to Dusty, but Michelle and Wes got so close this season in terms of working together. Mm-hmm. So I think that when Wes watches this back, he's going to be like, wow, Michelle was playing all the sides.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I don't actually know, but it's going to be interesting to like eventually talk to Michelle and watch how she's moving through this game. Cause obviously she's survivor strong, but she really did ride the middle with the vets.
Yeah.
Like we never targeted Michelle ever.
Yeah. She's very smart in this game and she's keeping her like cards close to her chest, which is really impressive. There was so much going on in this game. So we started with this week's challenge, HiQ trivia. I love trivia. It's always my personal fave. Although you guys got some hard questions, admittedly. Like you guys, and Chris knowing with a double decacathon, whatever that
a
was.
A tetrahedron.
Like, yes. Like what? How did he even know that?
I don't even know if I said the right shape right there.
Girl, it sounds right. I don't even know. Like, and
I don't
think
so.
And he said that suspended from the air. That man must be a genius. Blue team winning with an incredible strategy. You guys were like amazing in how you did that. Standout performance though from Alyssa S. and the green team and Tiffany on the red team. And shout out to Tiffany, because when she was the last one up there and she was like stuck to the glass and you could see they cut to a clip and she basically is like even kissing the glass. Like she's even using her lips literally as like a suction. And then she makes a quick comment where she's like, oh hell. And then she falls. Like she pulls her lips off the glass and then she falls. And it was just so funny, like the timing of that. But props to Tiffany for doing an amazing job.
And I think that this is one of the beautiful moments. And when you see a challenge team standing up next to each other and you look for the strongest, biggest competitor, right? Mm-hmm. Like you look at the blue team, you think, oh, Fessy. Like, mm-hmm. But you never know when the challenge is going to benefit somebody smaller.
It's anyone's game.
It's anyone's game, which is why we got to see it with Alyssa. We got to see it with Tiff as well. And I think that, you know, it was good, nice to see for them and for their own personal morale as challengers.
Absolutely. And that's why we have trivia every season. I mean, I think that's the only individual daily I've ever won as an individual, because y'all know I'm not winning another individual daily. So I love trivia. Then we have voting, where it's Wes and Tiffany going in. We get to see you and Bananas, which I think was pretty smart, sort of say from the jump, hey, look, we are not going to be able to sway anyway, right? You, like on the blue team, because you're like, we don't have the numbers. So you're like, we're just going to look like we're playing along. So Wes and Tiffany get voted in. The hopper selects Dusty because he had 7 balls in the hopper. Everybody was turning on Dusty. And we got to see a little bit of the Dust Devil now. I mean, he went in on Tiffany and Tiffany handled it well. Blaming her, saying you betrayed. I mean, he really, how did you feel in the house when you saw that?
I mean, I tried to stay away from it because, you know, I don't, it's like when you watch things catch on fire, you don't want to be a part of the fire in any way. You don't want somehow
any association.
So I was like, you know what, let me just, but you could hear it. And I think that, I think Tiff did handle herself really well. I think I think it's hard. It's a really tough environment. I think we had already seen glimpses of Dusty where sometimes like the competition would get to him and he'd be like, wow, like screaming really loud.
Yeah.
And I think some people, you know, around that, it took a while for people to get used to Dusty. But I think at this point in time, obviously Tiff, we kind of knew he had those moments. And I think she that's why she was able to handle it really well.
Yeah. I mean, and especially to be accused of something you didn't do, right? Like I think 100%. For anyone, that's the part that's like tough when someone's coming at you in front of everyone. Also, Michaela was hilarious. I don't know if you guys caught it, but go back and rewind. When Michaela runs up the stairs and is like, hey, y'all, there's some tea. And everybody gets up from the table and runs downstairs. Michaela is just, so funny.
She is, man. She really is. The way she would just hobble in a room, like she's a full-blown character.
But she's also the way she knew Hinge, by the way, the Hinge trivia question. And she's like, I know because the app has not been deleted. Shout out to Michaela for that. So much stuff. So funny. And so then we see the elimination come down, right? And it's Wes versus Dusty, which is what, you know, Wes was hoping wouldn't happen, but it did. Going into that, who did you think was going to come out victorious?
I really didn't know. I mean, I think that it was pretty evenly matched. Wes has the experience. Dusty is an incredible athlete, which hasn't really been highlighted too much yet. You know, unfortunately for him, but like if you were to see him compete in some of the daily challenges, you would put a lot of emphasis on his athletic ability.
Yeah. Did you know about Wes's fight, like struggle with the ropes, like his curse with ropes?
Not until after. Yeah. But I know he's strategic. And so I figured the issue is with Wes going first, right? Like Wes was the first person to figure out which wheel was going to be the one to actually have enough leverage to knock the other person off. So by Dusty staying up there watching that, he didn't even have to waste time trying the first one.
Exactly.
He just went right for the second one. So I think
that's smart of Dusty. Yeah.
For sure. It gave Dusty an advantage. So, you know, when the times came out and we found out that Wes won, I mean, it was like a shock to everybody.
How long did it take for them to make that announcement? Because we saw like kind of not a slow-mo, but we just saw everyone's reactions when it really seemed Wes seemed defeated. It really did seem like Wes lost. How much time do you think passed before they actually kind of got the both up there and then announced, all right, here who the winner is?
Yeah, at least 30 to 45 minutes because Wes was sitting in the mud soup for a while.
Really? And they didn't encourage him to get out. They just let him stew, literally.
They let him stew.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wes.
Emo Wes. But now he's back in the game. He's playing with blue team now. He takes Chris's spot.
Which is so smart because now you guys have the numbers. Finally, things are looking sort of up. I mean, in this game, anything changes every week, but you guys finally have the numbers. Had you guys talked about that beforehand or had he shared that with you guys that he would defect if he won and come back over to the blue team?
I kind of assumed he was going to do that. And obviously you had seen this, you know, the drama brewing between Chris, Cassidy, and Wes.
Yes, yeah.
So, like, I kind of had it in my mind, but, you know, obviously for it to go down, this is the cool thing about the challenge is somebody can take a shot at you, you can go in, you mm-hmm. can come back, you can return the shot, and then yep. now it's this, it's karmic in a way.
Yeah, so, you can return the shot and move people around, which yeah. is, like, changes yeah. everything. So we see Wes defect, and then... yeah, and now we're set up for next week. We had some very interesting trivia moments, which is another reason why I love trivia. I don't think any will ever be as good as when Bananas said Australians speak Dutch. But Jojo Siwa coming from Dancing with the Stars, although to be fair, she was on Dancing with the Stars.
That's what I said.
She didn't start there, but it did have a dance in it. And Corey, I actually feel like we should have, I didn't even think about it till now, but we should have called Corey for this episode and just put him on speaker and asked him to pronounce Steven Spielberg. Like, we should be like, Corey, hey, can you just say Steven Spielberg for a second, please? I wonder if he'd get it right now.
Yeah.
Wild.
Oh, so good. I mean, there's so many moments. Like, we were actually up there for an hour and 30 minutes. We had yeah. so many trivia questions that you didn't get to see. So many hilarious ones. I know one of the questions was, what is the final Magic Mike movie called? And Bananas yells out, Big Boner. And then yeah. So, like, nobody knew the answer. So, like, there was ridiculous responses.
Wait, what is it called?
I think it's called The Last Dance.
Oh, I think it is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
There were some funny moments up there. And, you know, I wish that you guys could watch the entire thing uncut.
I know. They should release the trivia part at least uncut, because I bet you there are some really hilarious. Is there another one that stood out to you as being like the dumbest answer, but sort of the like.
I'm pretty sure that one of the questions while Alyssa was up there by herself was, who is the pop star that sings Crazy? And out of nowhere, she was like, I don't know, Britney Spears, and got it right with, like, actually not knowing what she was talking about. So there was some moments.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, with Alyssa yeah. S. while she was up there alone, still answering questions right. So it kind of sucks that they gave her the one that she didn't really.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah. I mean, props to her. Props to all of them. So good. It's always so fun to see. And TJ really gets into it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he came to play, as evidenced by his shirt. I know he didn't think we were going to let that slide this episode. He really was taking some fashion risks. I appreciate it. He was bold. He had the print, the appliques, the floral appliques. He was really doing something. Like, I dare I say, this is the most bold we've seen TJ in his fashion.
Can I confess something to you?
Oh my God, please.
I don't think I've ever noticed what he's worn. And I'm always mind blown by you that's something that sticks out in your mind.
It does, and I don't know why, but I guess, I mean, it probably makes sense because I'm the one who went to the challenge house with, like, four bags and 14 pairs of heels and, like, you know, whatever else. So I pay attention to those things. But yeah. I'm always impressed when TJ deviates, you know. Yeah. Plus, he's come a long way from, like, the T-shirts. Like, he used to just wear T-shirts, and now mm-hmm. he's, like, exploring his style. So props to TJ for taking – he looked like he was about to go to, like, a Dior fashion show afterwards. Like, really, he did. Good job. Good on you, TJ.
Instead, he's
good
just flinging us all off a garage door
yes.
opener.
Evilly.
right into the water.
Evilly. And by the way, for our listeners, I love when you guys, because some of them have gotten into it too and will DM me things that I don't even notice about TJ's wardrobe sometimes, or things that they like. So I love that you guys analyze that along with me. Yeah, that always is a shine, like, standout to me. Now, speaking of standouts, I want to know, who gets your time out of the week and who gets your gold star?
My timeout goes to, unfortunately, Dusty, because the blow up is what led to. Listen, if the blow up was on the right person, go off, King.
Yeah, right.
But it was just on the wrong person.
Yeah, and that's a big shot to shoot.
Yeah.
And it not be on the right person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think? You agree?
Yeah. No, I don't. I think, you know, I like a silent shot anyway, meaning or like a measured one. So even if you are mad, I think a just conversation, not a yelling. Anytime somebody sees you like sort of blow your top, I just really do think that you are at a disadvantage in anything in life, in any moment. I just feel like you're at a disadvantage. And so I think that put him on the back foot. that mm-hmm. way. It's why I've liked the rookies this season. And I know some people listening might be like, oh, it's hypocritical because I got on so many challengers last season in War of the World or in
Globals.
Yeah, the global challenge, I got on so many of the rookies about coming after the vets. And it wasn't just that they were coming after the vets. Like, I get it. I get that it's needed. It's happening this season. And I actually really enjoy it. While it hurts me, I also enjoy it. It, like, hurts mm-hmm. so good. The mm-hmm. difference is that I feel like if you're measured and just organized in how you do it, it's just so much more impactful. Like, I just resonate with that style of gameplay. It doesn't make one right or wrong. It's just mm-hmm. what I prefer versus being like loud, because I think it puts you at a disadvantage. Everybody knows where you stand. And so Dusty doing that, even Cassidy coming at Wes, like, cool if you think there's a thing, but like, play that card when necessary. You know what I mean? Because now when right. you verbally put a target too, as the house starts to get smaller and people have to say names and votes and it gets harder to vote people in because you've built relationships because you guys have all been living in this house together. It's right. always easy to scapegoat the people that are either chaotic or that have a very obvious feud, right? Where you can go like, oh, I'm gonna just keep putting it all over there. Whereas if people don't know kind mm-hmm. of where you are, I don't know. I just mm-hmm. think it keeps you a little safer in the house.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that, like, even though these rookies are organized to an extent, a lot of them
were
still rookies.
Yeah, they're still rookies. And they were. And they're kind of falling apart now as the numbers start to dwindle.
Yay!
And as they see, you guys are the cockroaches they can't kill. I mean, really.
La cucaracha!
Even Wes coming back this week only further proves that the vets are the cockroaches. Y'all better get some Raid mixed with some DEET, some, mm-hmm. you know, dichotomous earth, or however you say it, diatomaceous, I don't know. Diatomaceous, I think that's it. Whatever, get all that to try and get them out. Who's your gold star of the week?
My gold star of the week goes to, listen, are we gonna give it to Wes? Like, he won. I'm gonna give it to Wes because he gave us those great scenes of him politicking, and then that we got that nice montage with the American flag behind his
That was
head.
Nice.
And that was a good laugh, so I enjoyed that. And then also he wins, and he gets to come back in, and he was stressed about being a father. So I'm giving it to Wes.
Yeah. That was, I mean, that the father part and getting to see his wife was, like, really sweet to see. Very, very sweet to see. And the moment with Bananas and Wes, honestly. And I know Wes probably felt a little embarrassed when he thought he lost and was Bananas coming over there, but it was a heartwarming, to me, it was a heartwarming moment, especially mm-hmm. just their history. Like, man, it really was beautiful to see. I'd say my timeout of the week probably goes to, it might go to Dusty. I think it's probably going to have to go to Dusty, only because he came in so hard and wouldn't even listen to reason. And I get that, like, a lot of stuff was, like, pent up, but it just hurt his game overall. Mm. Although, one might argue him getting fired up maybe helped him going into elimination, because sometimes people getting really fired up like that is like the amp they need when they're going in. So, you know, who knows on that end. But sorry, Dusty, I'm going to have to give you my time out this week. Mm-hmm. My gold star goes to Tiffany because, look, I'd say I'm a relatively calm person. The way that Tiffany handled being yelled at about something she didn't do, and she didn't, like, at least from what we saw, she didn't, like, pop off or just, rightfully.
Yeah.
Is there was, like, a patience there and a kindness there that was brilliant. Also, she gets the gold star because her commentary was funny as hell. The shade she threw in the interviews was actually very funny. She's hilarious, and I can't wait to have her on the podcast. She's so very funny. But she just handled that well, and even them being able to work together, and she made that little quip in the OTFs before you guys went up for the trivia, high Q trivia, where the team was sitting together, and she was like, yeah, I got to get it right, because Dusty's, you know, coming after me, and like, Dusty didn't crack a smile. But, like, the fact that she could even kind of laugh about it, I think – was so great and just spoke to her character, which is really cool. So she gets the gold star. And then the other honorable mention is obviously whoever put TJ in that shirt.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The shirt that I definitely noticed.
One day. one day. Look, they're not all noticeable. He also had on a green shirt that very much looks like an outfit I bought to wear on my honeymoon coming up on safari. Pretty much the same thing. You know, probably got it from the same place. But yeah, the floral shirt I feel like was a departure from Tej. Let me know what you guys think. But I feel like it was a bold move for him, and I'm proud of him taking these risks. Yes. Speaking of someone taking risks, our guest today is someone who is not afraid to go out there full throttle. He is a star on The Amazing Race, and he is now, I'd say, a up-and-coming star on The Challenge. Wouldn't you say, Tori?
I'd say he's written one of the best pieces of literature ever. Yeah. Considering that love note to bananas.
There you go.
So he's an author as well. So I'm excited to talk to Dusty. Let's get him on the podcast and see what he has to say about everything that happened.
It's so much good stuff. All right, you guys know the drill. Grab a snack, but take us with you, and then we'll be right back with Dusty from The Challenge USA.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody. Now, you may know this person from Amazing Race 33. He finished in third place with his partner, Ryan Ferguson. Or you may know him as Dusty Dangerfield, the man with the plan. Dusty, welcome to the show.
What is good, Tori? How are you guys doing today?
Good. Welcome.
Yeah, it's a blessing to be here. I can't even begin to describe it. It's surreal. Being a fan of this my whole life, spending the last 20 years watching this. Watching you, Tori, for the last 10 years, you know, compete, and now getting to do the podcast with you guys and recap some crazy things that we just saw. This is going to be good. I'm very excited, guys.
Oh, my God.
So many questions for you, Dusty. So many questions.
I have some answers I don't want to give.
Well, you don't have to speak on anything you don't want to speak on. But
yes,
I will
he
say,
does. It's the podcast. Yes, yeah. You do. You got to keep it real. Don't listen to Tori.
Oh, shit. Never
don't
mind.
Don't let her sugarcoat this for you, Dusty. We come here to keep it real.
I was trying to have your back.
Face me. Let's go.
He's ready for it. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's talk about everything that happened before this episode. Let's back it up for a second because your backstory is amazing. It was one of the most interesting things that I got to learn about you while we were filming in the house. You know, we have a lot of off days where we're just chilling, talking. And you explained how you and your partner, Ryan, got on The Amazing Race. And the story is pretty incredible. So would you mind just starting off by sharing that story with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, my best friend, my partner in crime, Ryan Ferguson, we competed on season 33 of The Amazing Race together. So crazy story. Ryan, when he was 19 years old and I was 20, he was actually wrongfully convicted of a murder that he had nothing to do with in our hometown of Columbia, Missouri. He has a documentary out. It's called Dream Killer that you can find on all viewing or streaming platforms. And it's, you know, basically, a kid that we went to school with had a dream one day that he had killed the sports editor of our local hometown newspaper. And it said that Ryan Ferguson, my partner in The Amazing Race, was with him. And that took the freedom of my best friend for 10 years. Fortunately, he got a fantastic attorney in Kathleen Zellner. Shout out to you and his amazing father, Bill Ferguson, who I love and is a real American superhero. Never let up and, you know, provided the truth and got my friend out. And that led to us getting the opportunity to run the world gallivant and him to babysit me as we raced around. I feel sorry for the guy. I bet he wishes that he wasn't with me halfway through.
Oh, no, Dusty. And I think like even you told us even more of the backstory about how the reason why he asked you to be his partner when he got asked to be on The Amazing Race was because out of all of the people in his life, you were one of the only ones who remained loyal to him while he was incarcerated for all those years. I think that just speaks volumes to your character. And I think that if you were to peel back the layers of Dusty, like you are truly a heart of gold underneath all of the, you know, teddy bear love letters and competition attitude that you bring to the show.
You know, it's, I'm a guy who wears his emotions on his sleeves. If you watch The Amazing Race, you can see that. And I can assure you what you are going to see coming up here on the challenge will expedite it tenfold, I would have to think. And it's just who I am. I grew up rough. I grew up in noise, violence, yelling, screaming in that environment. And I became a product of that environment. And I've had to work very hard the last 10 years of my life to try to put that behind me, to think before I, you know, go into action. But it's a hard thing for me to do. It's never malicious. It's just more how I communicate. And it just comes out sometimes pretty crazy. When I'm winning, I'm in the highs of the mountains. And when I'm losing, I'm in the lows and the valleys. It's just who I am. And the emotions are on my sleeves. And it's something that I work on constantly. I don't know if it's ever going to go away completely. But, you know, I will say that I did get a lot of growth out of spending time in that challenge house, because, as you know, Tori, seasoned vet, it's, you are pressure cooked. There is no two ways to get around it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely it is. I mean, I remember even my time back on the challenge, it felt very, it's a lot of chaos all of the time. We know that you are a challenge super fan. What was it like coming onto the show for you? Was it everything you expected it to be? Was it different in some ways?
So, I mean, honestly, like coming onto the challenge was a dream of mine. The Amazing Race, I was so blessed to get to do that, and especially do it with my buddy, who we lost 10 years of our friendship together. What a way to make up for it. But this was my jam. To see that red jersey that said the challenge with Dusty under it, I mean, I literally burst. I'm about to cry right now thinking about it. It was just it was an honor to wear that and to represent the challenge and to actually compete with Bananas West, with all the other crazy people, Tori, all of the other contestants that I got to meet from all these amazing shows. But to say that I'm a challenger now, I mean, it's a lifelong dream come true. People want to go play in the Super Bowl. I wanted to run a final in the challenge, and I've wanted to for the last 23 years.
Dusty, I think we know your feelings about the challenge versus the Super Bowl, because in that trivia question, sir, as a Missourian, I would have expected you to do better. You even mentioned it's your wife's favorite team and your wife's family favorite team. Shout out to the KC Chiefs. What do you have to say for yourself there, sir?
I'll tell you, I am so ashamed. I went in very confident. I think my, you know, the red team, good old red flags felt confident in me. To shit the bed on that one of all things. I mean, I'm going to get roasted. It's going to be so bad. The ridicule I will take, it will make up for it, I assure you.
Let's just set the story straight really quickly about this challenge, because they didn't highlight how many answers you got right, Dusty. You had so many answers right.
Oh, no, this
right.
wasn't about him getting one wrong, because everybody eventually gets one wrong. It was about Dusty, a Missourian, getting Missouri-specific question wrong.
But ball dropped. I'm sorry, Patty Mahomes. I owe you one.
So how was that challenge for both of you guys? Tori, I don't think I've ever asked you, what are your thoughts about the trivia challenges? Dusty, I want to know your feelings about doing it, and also the fact that you guys got to do it as a group this time. Like, Tori, do you feel like that was more advantageous, or did it make it harder?
Absolutely. It was totally an advantage. And you didn't really get to see the discussions up before we told our answers, but we did have time to discuss at least 15 seconds. So at least you got to be able to talk to somebody. You know, obviously two brains are better than one when it comes to knowing information.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, in some cases, exactly. So I thought it was great. You know, when we heard red team going at it, I mean, Dusty, you were crushing it on your team. You were definitely the vocal point for giving the answers to TJ, but then you just slipped off, dude.
Man, I'll tell you, going into this, like trivia, this was one of the things where I was like, okay, I'm locked in. I feel good about trivia.
Yeah.
And I remember sneaking into Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yes.
All the time.
Yep.
Kind of got me ready for this. I had all the apps on my phone, putting work in, so I felt good. When I realized, though, that we had to lay on a glass panel or a plexiglass panel, I sweat profusely.
Was it hot that day? Because I know you guys were cold in a lot of the challenges. Okay. You looked cold, but this one was hot that day?
It was so hot, and immediately, ass to glass, Banana said it best. that was the play. I feel like the blue team, you guys, you just had the brains to really strategize everything. We would be talking red team, red flags, hooting and hollering at each other with no structure being put into place. And I would look over and I was just like, it was an oiled machine. And you could just tell the experience on blue team really paid a huge dividends to them. And
Tori, what was blue team strategy?
Okay, listen. I think ultimately it came down to the way Bananas told us to lay on the board. Okay. So we all had our right leg. We all mm-hmm. hiked our shorts up. Literally right. made thongs. We made thongs out of our shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
And we put our leg on, and then we crossed and pushed down. It's really hard to see what I'm doing, but go back, rewatch it. Freeze the way we were standing, because that position is what held us there for so long.
So you guys were all laying the same direction, like going.
We were all holding the same position. So a lot of people were laying flat on it, kind of like, yeah. like as if you. But that wasn't the play. You needed a little bit more leverage to mm-hmm. and be able to push in on your foot. So Bananas was the one that had that strategy, and that kept us up there. That this entire thing lasted longer than an hour and a half.
Wow. That's impressive.
An hour. I couldn't Amazing. Walk when I fell into the water because that's how numb my feet were. Wow. It's crazy. Yeah.
That's really impressive to stay up there for an hour and a half. Wow. Props yeah. to you guys.
I was dangling with my legs off of the platform for probably 20 minutes. Literally.
We did see the leg dangle, and that looked great. I mean, you had great posture, Dusty, just so you know. Those legs were gracefully, like, angled on that platform.
I was begging for it. They only showed a little bit of it. I just kept begging. I was like, sacrifice yourself. Pull me up. Come on. Let's go. You got to do it. I did. I hung on as long as I could. Once the sweat started, though, and the slipping yeah. started, I knew.
Yeah.
I just kept begging TJ, hurry. Just let me get one more answer. Please, just one more.
TJ yeah. gets such a kick out of that. Like, TJ is like, I can't. And then the fact that he threw Blue Team in the water even after they won was just like double shady. Dusty, how was it competing against, because we saw, and we'll get into, I mean, I don't know what your official nickname is. Tori might know, like the Hurricane Duck. Because before going into this, you were Teddy Bear Dusty. And when I saw clips of this, oh, I like that. I like that, the Dust Devil. I saw clips going into this episode, and I was like, how is that possible? Because Dusty is the giver of love notes, which we will talk about, to Bananas. Mm-hmm. And he is like the teddy bear. He literally just seems like a teddy bear in his interviews. So you got riled up. Which, yes, you guys' love session. We will definitely get into that. But you and Tiffany basically had some friction at this point. How was it competing with her on this particular daily where you have to really be unified as a team? You have to communicate knowing, you know, you guys are not getting along. What was that like for you?
So with Tiffany, the night before, there was definitely a quarrel where I basically berated her for my thoughts that she had maybe worked something out to put votes on me. And so they recapped it with Alyssa. I had the conversation to keep balls off me. I got four balls, and I literally set four goals for myself. I think this is important before I get into this on mm-hmm. what I expected for myself from the challenge. Number one was to stay sober. And we can get into that whenever. I felt that was important because Dust yeah. Devil, Dusty, whatever, if you would have seen it with some cocktails in it, he would have turned into a hurricane. No question.
Okay.
Number two was to make it to a final. That's to be mm-hmm. seen. Mm-hmm. Number three, I wanted to be undeniable in competition.
Okay.
I wanted to make it to where the challenge had to bring me back because I performed so well and brought so much energy to this program and this, you know, franchise that they had to bring me back. But lastly, the one that should have been number one was to control myself, to take mm-hmm. a second when times were bad, reflect before acting. And I didn't do that with Tiffany.
But you were living in the moment. To be fair, Dusty, especially in the Challenge House. And like you said, like it's designed for even those of you who are great at maintaining control to lose control. Like that, it is everything that is sort of, I don't say not real life, but like all the craziest things of real life put, it's everything your parents like warn you about, or like the good mentors yeah. in your life, you know, yeah. be wary of strangers, like be, you know, don't do X, Y, and Z, like, and it's putting that all on you. So I hope you don't stay hard on yourself around not maintaining control, because that's pretty much, you were human in that yeah, moment. Totally. But how do you feel though, seeing how wrong you were about Tiff?
Yeah. So, you know, seeing it the next morning, I did have a conversation with Tiffany mm-hmm. and I apologized. At this point in the show, when I apologized, I still was convinced
that she was one of the
yeah. other girls had worked against me to vote me in. So I just communicating to a woman yelling at any time, that is a big no-no to me. And I could mm-hmm. have painted in a different manner. So that's one of my biggest regrets on the show, was yelling at Tiffany the way I did. Mm-hmm. See what really happened, what transpired, to know basically my whole team and the Survivor Strong Gang all put balls on me. It sucks to know, it stings. It happened right under my nose. I feel like a student in this game, and this the wave just blew right over me.
And why do you think they did that? Like, why do you think that they ended up choosing you?
I think it was a very easy choice to be chosen. Let's be honest. If you know anything about the challenge, and again, I've watched this profusely for 20 years, when you cause a scene in the house, and now seeing it, knowing that the whole house was standing in the hallway of the dungeon, which was our room, the dungeon, it puts the target on you. It's, you know, bad vibes in a house. I mean, I remember having multiple talks with you, Tori, and with Bananas and everyone down in the room, and it's like, it's trying to keep the Richter scale from going too high or too low and keeping the Mendoza line in the middle. And the second that I popped off, I knew that there was probably going to be more balls coming my way. It's just,
but this was before you popped off, though. And or if there's some behind the scenes, please let us know, both of you guys.
Yeah.
But your reaction to Tiffany happened after there was first a vote for you initially, right? Like the first time you saw your name go in, and you didn't know that the Survivor girls had done it. So prior to that, was because from what we saw in previous episodes, there was nothing that would indicate why it was confusing as a viewer of why even the Survivor girls would have gone after you, because we didn't see any scenes that you caused in the house. And we just saw Teddy Bear Dusty and a love note to Bananas. So was there anything else? We had Bananas on recently on the podcast, and he had nothing but sweet things to say about you too. We got to see the note. So we'll go through that. But so was there something else that happened in the house of why you think the Survivor girls would have? It just didn't, there seems to be a gap there.
I'll be honest with you. I think that, and again, just going back to my personality, man, I bring a lot of energy to the table. And there was multiple conversations had with Michaela and I. We spoke quite a few times throughout the season, to where she was really leaning into me to try to get me to work with them. And it's just, my bed was already made at this point. Like, breaking loyalty to who I was working with was something of, you know, the point I was in the game, it wouldn't have made any sense. And just my vibe in the house, I kind of figured that Survivor would stick together. I thought I had a better opportunity to do more damage with the people that I was working with, and with the vets, absolutely. And I wasn't going to go against them. It's just...
Yeah. So maybe they came after you because they thought you weren't an ally, it seems like that you weren't going to side or vote along the lines they wanted. That makes sense.
Yeah, and let's be honest, too, there's no blood on your hands when there's one amazing race person left in the house. I become an easy vote when there's, you know, if I had an alliance of six amazing race people supporting me, I would have people fighting more for me.
Right.
It's the nature of the beast. I knew coming in with just Lewis, this was going to be an uphill battle, but I like to eat. I like it to be hard. And I got everything I asked for, I can assure you that.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting is, like, because eventually we got to a point where, you know, Dusty, we needed you just as much as you needed us, the vets I'm talking about. And they show Operation Hattrick the week prior when we
love
all
that. Still love it.
And the best thing is, Dusty was a part of that, but it doesn't even look like he was.
Yeah.
Dusty was in on Operation Hattrick with us.
Yeah, wait, Dusty, did you eat your piece of paper or flush it down the toilet? Because that was a thing.
Ate it immediately. Swallowed
you
it.
You ate it too. What? You guys could have flushed it. Why?
I must eat it, so I wasn't going to be outdone by him. So I did.
Oh my gosh. Were they not feeding you guys in the house? Which we haven't talked about so far this season, Tori. What were you guys eating? Like, was there ever any fighting over, because I know at least back in the day in the old school challenge, a couple of big fights that happened in the house, as a viewer, you'd watch them and just be like, oh my God, Nani's fighting with Frank or whatever. But really it was because it started over a bottle of hot sauce, or like it started over the last piece of chicken and somebody was hungry and they couldn't get it. And like, that was the origin of the fight. So that happened actually quite a lot. People were hoarding snacks. That happened both times I was on the challenge. So were there any moments like that here with everybody?
Yes.
Really?
Wait, what happened? Yes, Michaela, and I love her to death, would steal the frozen berries and she would hide them. To this day, we still don't know where she was hiding. She would pull out avocados. I don't know where.
We had a freezer down by the dungeon that no one knew about, and she put them all in there. Literally right there by the sink down in the dungeon. That's where all of her stuff was always at.
That's hilarious. Michaela's so smart. She's like so sly.
She's sly.
Why is it? Because you guys were eating all the berries? Is that why she felt like she needed to hide them?
She was just like She really cared about what she ate. She has a very clean diet. And I think when she realized that we were all kind of, I don't know, listen, there was a lot of snacks that weren't good for you when they provided those frozen berries. She took them. The avocados were few and far between. She took them.
That's hilarious. Not grocery market Michaela. That is hilarious.
Yeah, it's just a man up early, putting in the whole ordeal. Smoothies, this, that. Always going, go.
Yeah. Ooh, and the words of Michaela, there is some tea going on. You don't want to miss this. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so before we get into like the craziness of, you know, the elimination and sort of the teeth biting moment of that, let's take it back to a really special moment you had with Wes where you guys were talking about fatherhood. That was really cool. Had you guys had any deep conversations prior to, because we haven't seen it, like prior to this, or like how did this, you know, sort of vulnerable conversation come to be?
So the crazy thing is Wes, is expecting, I believe in September, if I'm not mistaken. My wife is actually pregnant as well, but Wes made it very clear that this was his season. This is number two for me, so I wanted him to have all the shine of being a new father.
So, when's your wife due, Dusty?
Very soon here. Due on the 10th, actually, premiere day now.
Oh my gosh! Wow, so special, and congratulations. Absolutely. Maybe it's a sign of a future challenger, Dusty. I don't know. I feel like they're going to have a challenge generations at some point if we keep going at this rate. And so like you and your baby could compete with John A's kids, Wes's kids.
I mean, Johnny probably has a few kids that just haven't knocked on the door yet.
Oh, and that's probably true, but oop.
Yeah, take that, love letter boy.
Okay, so there he is. There's the Dust Devil.
Yeah,
he showed himself. Oh my gosh, man! It was beautiful to watch you and Wes have that conversation, and I think it goes to show like how tight that room, that dungeon, really became throughout the entire game. You can really see how Survivor is obviously still Survivor strong. And Dusty, you were with Amazing Race, and then obviously Lewis is gone, and now you literally have nobody. So at this point in the game, recognizing that you know you had this blow up with Tiffany, knowing that the vets were really the only people on your side, did you start to have feelings of like, wait a minute, am I playing this game the right way? Or is there anything else I could be doing at this point to get further?
I feel like at this point in, you know, the war, I'm laying in the bed that I'm going to lay in. You know, losing Lewis was heartbreaking. It sucks because he was truly an ally to me. I just feel like that he played his cards too soon with the routes he wanted to go. And we just didn't have an opportunity to position ourselves very well together. But I love that guy, man. He is a force to be reckoned with. And, it means the world to me. I just really felt, to be honest, walking into the house, let's be honest, partnering with the vets probably wasn't the smartest move for any rookie to do. I had a very, very in-depth conversation early into my challenge career. I believe you were in there, Tori, but as well with a special fruit named bananas.
Yeah.
So he told me, he realized that something very important to me is, you know, I'm a little bit older in the tooth than a lot of these kids. Let's be honest, I'm 39 going on to 40. So there may not be many years left of this. I want to continue to compete on this and, you know, make a name for myself on the challenge. And Banana said it best. He was like, listen, you can fly with the pigeons in one direction and see where that gets you. Or he was like, you can be an eagle that's going to cut down through all the pigeons. And he goes, my best advice to you, Dusty, is to cut against the grain. And that is something that really stuck with me from that moment on, because there is a difference in what the Amazing Race is and what the challenge is. And it's something that just, it took me a little bit to understand, like watching it for 20 years and then going into that house, nothing prepared you for that because you don't know what format. There's a hopper. Is it going to be team? Is it going to be individual? What are you into.
With The Amazing Race, there's really not a lot of gameplay. Like, you don't have to strategize. You don't have to vote people into elimination. So you've already had this, you already had the physical experience because you're, aren't you like an ultra marathoner? Don't you like run hundreds of miles?
I do Ironmans, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like, wild. Yeah. So that just goes to show how fit Dusty is. Like, and we knew that no matter what, this guy was the real deal. You, nobody runs, nobody's an Ironman if they're not the real deal. And then, so obviously he had the Amazing Race experience, but yeah, how was it like trying to even politic? This is your first experience politicking.
Man, it is, when you go into a house of all A-type personalities, I mean, there is not a single person in the group. I mean, I think Tyler slept a lot, but even when you could get him talking, he had a little A personality in him deep in there. It is something else, man. I thought I had this vision in the back of my mind that, oh, I'm going to have best friends for the rest of my life. Just like my Amazing Race cast. It's like, we go on vacation every year. There's this love. But like Tori said, there is no like game in the Amazing Race. It's just don't get past. And so you think you're prepared. You think, you know, what you're going to do, you're going to say this, do that. But a famous quote that I live by Mr. Mike Tyson is, you always have a plan until you're punched in the face. And I will assure you, Challenge House will punch you square between the eyes every single day.
Yeah. And this season in particular, because we were talking about it, it's so, you know, something that separates the challenge or has for years, and I'd argue probably still does, is one, when the show originally started, it was people who were cast on their shows because they were people who spoke their minds and stood in it. It wasn't about sort of manipulation, gameplay. It was literally, you are this personality and like you stand by that. The Real Worlds and The Road Rules, that's why we were cast on those shows. And then ultimately, yeah, right, it turned into The Challenge. Then you start bringing in Big Brother Survivor people who were cast because of their ability to kind of scheme, manipulate, keep secrets, you know what I mean? Like analyze, which is very different. And even before, when they would have Big Brother people on, there would either usually still be so many challengers or just the structure of the game would be that they would very quickly have to adapt to, as we've been saying on this podcast, sort of say it with your chest, which is like, if you say you're going to vote someone, like, or where there wasn't secret voting, for example. So if I said Dusty, I had to say it to your face that I was voting you in. And then, you know, you could come after me after that. Whereas this season is interesting because, you know, the producers have made it so with this secret vote that people can be real messy. So it's really a balance of what the challenge is and the sneakiness of, you know, Survivor and Big Brother, which has clearly made it hard for the vets this season. They were on the back foot for the first half of the season so far. We'll see how they end up. And then for you coming in for your first season, my God, man, like that, you making it this far in this season in particular is seriously no. And with one of the small, I mean, part of the reason the vets are struggling is because they don't have the numbers on their side. Amazing Race didn't have the numbers on any side. So like you making it this far, Dusty, really is, I mean, round of applause to you because that is no easy task at all.
That means so much to me hearing that come from you. You know, I didn't get to where I wanted to be, but I know now what needs to be done. I truly believe that I can win the challenge. I know I can, 100% I can. And that is my objective in life, is to win that thing and let my two sons watch me be a champion.
Mm-hmm. What would you do different? Like you don't have to give your whole strategy, because then I don't want you blaming us when people listen to the podcast and the next season they come and use your strategy too. But what's one thing you would do differently when you come back?
I would make everyone an F and earn their way to an A instead of making everyone an A and letting them earn themselves.
Interesting.
I gave everyone the benefit of the doubt. Didn't want to hurt feelings. You know, I thought I could play this game nobly, and you learn real quick, that does not exist in this. And it's like, I have the tenacity, I have the goal, I have the game to do it. I just didn't really bring as much of it as I wanted to or needed to into it. But I can tell you this, the little seedling has been watered, and I'm going to turn into a redwood, and I'm going to thump some motherfuckers the next time I get a chance.
Oh, yeah, redwood see the dust Dusty.
Devil. I feel like the dust devil is next season. We're going to be like, who is this? It's going to be dust
I want to control my emotions better, to take a deep breath, walk away, and have my conversations.
Man, your emotions will kill you every time, Dusty, in that game. Like, you have to be the ones who do well and go far I'd say consistently, are the ones who can be pragmatic when it is needed. Like even Janae's sort of victory, like return from what she was back in the day to a challenger. Yeah. Now you see someone who is much more methodical, you know, like just pragmatic about things. Bananas can turn it on. Even Tori, as we've seen her grow on the challenge and win, it's like you just get, you gotta, the emotions are there. Like, let it all fall apart when the game's over, and then, you know, we all need therapy. But in the game, like, yeah. Like you've got to be pragmatic, because if they can smell fear, or the minute that they can sense it, you know, you're already kind of backed into a corner.
100%.
You've got to learn from this business, and it is a business. And that's something that I realized maybe a little too late in the game. This is business, man. That's $250,000 for a man and a woman. You guys wanted that as much as I did. And it's like, you're going to do whatever it takes to do that. And I need to realize that. And it's, you know, I'm going to continue cutting against the grain. I'm going to have my moments. There's no two ways about it. I will pop off if it gets to the point. It's going to happen. It's control it as best as I can.
Use it to your advantage.
Yes, absolutely. And it's just, I hope there's not a hopper next time.
Yeah, me too. That was the worst. Yes. Okay, but how about this? Do you hope there's not knots, a steering wheel, and a large sewing thimble next time too? What was the thing you guys were spinning on? What do we call that?
A cylinder? I have no idea.
A sewing wheel.
Have you ever sewn anything in your life, Tori?
My great-grandma Babushka was a seamstress. That's a
no. I knew it was a no the minute she described it as a sewing wheel.
Yeah. It was something else, I'll tell you that, man.
Do you usually attack knots so chaotically, Dusty? Like, is your thing, is that, well, like, yeah, walk us through the strategy of you going, okay, this is how I'm going to go with the knot. After you saw Wes do it so, not slowly, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Just so kind of, yeah.
So first off, I was so excited that I was on the drum first and I got to watch what Wes was going to do. Mm-hmm. I immediately knew I was going to go to the second wheel. My thought was,
smart.
I'd go to the third. So I get to the first wheel, you know, the objective is to untie this thing as quickly as possible. My dumbass is working in the middle of the poles holding it up when clearly what you need to do is pull from the outside so you're not getting tangled up in the ropes or you're pulling them apart. So I got through the first wheel. It definitely took me a little bit of time to untangle myself before I could get it loose. But I immediately ran back to the second wheel and I caught Desi. She kind of slipped something under her breath.
Yes.
There. I'm glad they did. Shout out to
Dr. Desi. Yes.
And so I heard her say that and I immediately pulled from the outside and I knew I was in the business then. I was like, okay. So I get the second wheel on and I mean, the thoughts in my head, I mean, I'm like, I'm going to kill this ginger. I'm going to spin it so hard that he shoots off into the crowd. And there'll be nothing he can do. And so I'll be honest with you. I gave it one tug to the right and put every single thing that I had into it to spin it to the left. And when I dumped him, you know, you hear a bit of it. Some excitement comes out of me.
Yeah. I mean, and it looked fast. You did a great job. Like, to be fair. And also you up on that weight, the sewing wheel, as you did a great job, because those things are so hard to balance on and you're tall, so you were standing up, like you had some balance in there. Mm-hmm. Some very good. Are you a good dancer, Dusty? I feel like the moves we saw means that, because you had the rhythm for a minute.
Show us
there,
like, show really. Us a boot scoop boogie. Show us your boot scoop boogie.
I'm hoping in an episode in the clubs you get to see a few moves. I mean, I don't have two left feet, if that's what you're asking.
Okay. Dusty coming with a little swag. All right. So I
honestly felt so good about the performance. I fell in, I honestly was very nervous because I was like, felt pretty quick. But then when you see Wes on it, it's a lot harder to stand on that drum than people think. I have pretty good balance. I was literally doing like one-legged squats, waiting in the back, like mentally preparing myself. And so I felt good. 37 seconds literally haunts me to this day. I wake up.
How long was the whole thing, do you guys think? Like each, because it's 37 seconds difference, but were you standing up, you know, was it kind of like a 20 minute challenge, a 5 minute challenge? Like,
I'd say 10 minutes.
Say 7 to 10 minutes. Yeah, somewhere in there.
Okay. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it would be hard to tell.
Yeah. I was a little bit longer in the ropes, but I mashed him on the spinning drum.
Right.
Vice versa. He untied the first one a little quicker than me and I mean, I for sure thought I won. I think everyone thought I won. But
it looked like everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone thought. I mean, you saw it on Wes. Wes is sitting there, head down. Bananas is giving him a mud massage. Like, we all thought Wes lost, you know, which was, you know, sad in its own way. I was happy. We were all happy Dusty. Not we were all, but a lot of us were so happy Dusty was coming back. Wait, Dusty, were you going to switch teams if you did win?
Man, I had an idea to come to blue. I mean, going to blue, let's be honest, was the smartest play. No question asked. But part of me, with everything that I'd been through with that damn red team, it's like, I think there's going to be a target on my back anyways. And I was pretty convinced it was going to split up pretty soon or like go to partners or something to where it wouldn't matter anyway. So part of me was a bit nervous to piss off the red team even more in the event that somehow they figured out how to win one without Tori and Bananas throwing something.
Right.
That I was in the target again. So, I mean.
And at this point, you didn't know that they had voted for you, right? Like, you still didn't know. You thought it was just Tiffany and someone else. You didn't realize it was Michelle. And
at this point, I had known. Josh spoke with me. Michelle spoke with me. Chanel spoke.
Okay, so they admitted it.
Yeah.
They admitted that they vote for you. Okay.
And it was all love. And I told him, listen, guys, at this point, it's like, I think Tori said it best. We had multiple conversations where it's like, you're not truly a challenger until you go into the arena and go prove yourself. And so walking down into that the first time, I was extremely nervous, but it's strange right when you hit sand, pay dirt, when you step over that rope into that ring, something came over me and it was like, I'm ready. I feel so at peace, so ready to go. Mm-hmm. And I thought I did enough. And man, to be able to beat Wes, if to take him out and put that notch on my coffee table, one of the best to ever be in eliminations, I would have loved to have been able to do that, man.
I mean, and to get so close, you though got so close, and it was two Missourians, all right? This was like the fight of the state, okay? What? It was the middle of Missouri versus the west side. For people who don't know, go get a map. I'm largely talking to our producer, Nicole, who I love. We've had this conversation. But
not me also getting a map.
See what I deal with here. Two Missourians, for those who don't know, Dusty being from Columbia, Wes being from Kansas City, like battling it out. And what I'd say was a pretty, I mean, it was epic to watch because you really couldn't tell. And like you said, you both had very different strategies. Even standing up on the sewing wheel, you stood up, Wes crouched down, like seemed to kind of stay down the whole time. You guys just had very different ways of doing it. And it really looked like it was anyone's game. And again, as a rookie, props to you, Dusty, because that, I mean, is pretty, that was epic. That was epic.
I wanted it so bad, man, like so bad to win that one. So when it was all said and done and over, I feel like I could have blown up. I felt like I won. I felt slighted, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. And it was an honor to lose to Wes. I'm very grateful that if I was going to lose to a legend, and I'll say it to this day, I know everyone wanted to come in and knock these vets out of this business, knock this game.
Yeah, they did.
Change it, take over the ropes, and we'll see what happens. But at the same time, you have to respect what these people have built for us to be able to have the opportunity to do this. And I mean,
it was
an honor to compete with Survivor and Big Brother, and I have friends for lifetimes. Probably
are you trying to politic for next season, Dusty? If you don't slow down, we are on to you, what you're trying to do.
Devin, don't play this game up.
No, I'm on to both of you. I get on Tori about it, too, when I'm like, Tori, you are so obviously politicking in this moment. Can you be obvious about it?
No.
I'm ready to go. Let's go.
Speaking of politicking or just genuine love, let's talk about your love letter to Bananas. What inspired you to write it? And we got to hear a little bit of it a couple episodes ago, but can you just share what you wanted to convey?
Absolutely. So I don't want to call it a love letter to Bananas. So this was actually written when Bananas went into elimination. And so at this point, man, I'll be honest with you. You see Bananas on TV. He's a guy that you're either going to be extremely drawn to or a guy that you're going to be extremely detracted
annoyed
from.
By. That's fair. That is a fair assessment.
When I entered the house, the room I got stuck in, instead of turning left, I made the right to the dungeon. So I'm stuck with Bananas, Polly, and Josh are my roommates. I know I'm in for a ride. And so I'm like, grab the reins. And so as a, you know, a super fan of the show, spending time with these guys, some of my best moments were hearing stories from all of these people, the vets that were on the show and what they've been through. And so Bananas just really became a voice of reason for me. That is a crazy thing to say out loud. He was being bored, man. He gave me lots of good advice, not just challenge advice, but just life advice. And
yeah,
if you give Bananas the opportunity, you open up and kind of let him in a little bit. He's got a rough exterior, but when you peel a banana, they're mushy and soft inside.
Yeah,
and
that's exactly what we say about Nanners. That is 100% true. Yeah. That is
100% love true. Letter. I just wanted to show my appreciation, man. Give him my contact information. We made some plans to like whitewater raft, do some things. And it's just like, it was just a token of my appreciation for the things that he kind of did for me, you know, kind of taking me under his wing and dealing with my crazy ass.
Dude, he loved you. He needed you just like you needed him. And I'm sure... I mean, you should have seen him when you went home, you know? He just kind of, like, flopped on the bed and was like, damn. You know, I mean, obviously we love Wes, too, but none of us wanted to see you go, Dusty. Like, you brought some of the best stories in the house. There's not very many people that can sit the entire house down and have them all laughing. Dusty's stories from home, I'm not going to say what they were.
Dusty, you have to tell us at least one. No. You can't come on the podcast and not tell us. At least everyone listening wants to know at least one Dusty story. So can you give us
Think you can air this shit.
I don't think you can air it. I want to be what I'm
okay,
saying.
Our producer, she'll cut it out then. She'll cut it out. Wait, I want to know what is a Dusty-ism? What is a Dusty story?
Write her a letter, Dusty. Write her a letter.
How about I write you a letter with it?
Yes.
I will send you a letter and you do as you see fit with it. Just don't give me
I will hold it. That'll be a keepsake. That'll be like a collector's item in 10 years. An authentic Dusty letter. That'll be more valuable than what the Beanie Babies were ever supposed to be. I will take a letter, Dusty. I will give you my address after this. I fully expect a Dusty letter.
I 100% will make that happen. I'm a proponent that life's too short, man. Live it to the fullest. Grab the bull by the horns and thrash your way through everything, man. It is what it is. Hence drinking. You know, I used to drink a lot and get wild and do crazy shit. And I mean, I'm proud that I stayed sober through that madness, because literally drinking in the house is a PED. I'm telling you, to get that outlet of just being able to let your guard down and release. I'm really excited for my kids to be able to see their dad. You know, he may not have made it all the way to the finish line, but he fought some demons and, you know, stayed sober.
Sober in that house is so hard.
I was sober 3 months before going to film this season. And by like the first week, I'm not going to say who, but somebody was like, just have a shot. And I caved like that because it's so hard in that environment. So I was always looking at Dusty like, wow, the strength it takes to be able to be in this environment, it is truly truly something else. Like there's so much to be proud of. Yes, maybe you didn't make it to a final yet, but guess what? There's going to be more opportunities in the future. And if not, then I'm going to write a mean letter to production because Dusty, you better come back.
You and the bear frozen berries being wanting more frozen berries in the house. Right. That's exactly what Tori would write.
I did enough to prove that, you know, I can produce on the challenge.
But that's it. That's the other thing. Please, Dusty, please, out of the newbies, if this is something, Tori, I feel like we need to get on this train and like spread the word. Don't come in producing the show. Just be you.
Yeah.
Just be you. You don't need to making a big name is just you being authentic, because that's why you were cast there in the first place. You don't need to get in more fights and in people's faces. You don't need just do what is literally authentically you, because I feel like that's the one thing that would make the challenge go downhill is if people come in thinking they need to produce and trying to produce and trying to make a moment. Like, sure, if there's a moment where someone's getting on your nerves and you want to say, well, I'll see you in elimination or whatever, you know, like that's authentic, cool, fine. Yeah. But you don't need, like, you're a Knuff. And some of you will know what I mean when I say you are Knuff. You are. So, like, just be you in the show, because you're going to be incredible to watch, especially just giving your background and the marathonness and the two sides of you. You're not a Gemini by chance, are you?
Scorpio.
Okay.
It's got the stingers. That's the stinger of love.
Yeah, that's going to be plenty to watch. So please do not need to produce yourself. Just be authentic. And you'll get more out of it too, honestly, I think. And Tori can back me on this. And the moments you feel like you've gained, whether it be friendships, relationships, or personal growth. It's been you just really being you and not trying.
And people are going to connect with that, which is why so many of us already connect with you. And I think all of the things Devin's saying, like, I think don't overanalyze the way this season went for you because you stayed very true to yourself, as true as possible. That's all you can do. And you still made an epic show, you know? So unfortunately, half the stories wouldn't pass the production cut because, you know, we want to keep you out of jail. No, I'm just kidding. I can't. Just kidding. I swear to God, I'm kidding. No, you're incredible, Dusty. And seriously, I'm...
You don't even have to sign the letter, Dusty, when you say it. I'm just saying. You can
You'll know.
No. Dusty is one of the most, you know, I think, obviously, well, the furthest lasting amazing racer. That's something to be proud of.
Very impressive.
Yeah. Went home against a legend in a very close elimination.
With 37 second difference. 37 seconds. Wild.
Competed so strongly all season and created so many incredible bonds with people who are going to stay in the game forever. So, Dusty, you have a lot to be proud of. Keep your head up. And congratulations on being a new dad again.
Again.
Again. That
means so much to me. You guys have no idea. And so I got another... I got to go win one of these damn things. Biden Jordan's little boys, man, it's going to get expensive.
Yeah. Oh, Dusty, well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And we look forward to talking with you again in the future, hopefully. So
we do. And for everyone who wants to keep up with what you're doing and see your new little one, where can they find you on social media?
You can catch me on Instagram at DustyHarris03. I am on Facebook at just Dusty Harris and Twitter, DustyHarris03 as well.
Nice. All right. And then you guys can send him your own P.O. box from Million Dress to see if he'll send you a letter too.
I'll send him. And then be a poem.
It's like the new version of an NFT. It's just Dusty letters. Yeah. Like a collection. You should number them. And then so it'll be like, ooh, I got like a first edition. It could be a thing.
I love it. Oh, well, thank you so much, Dusty.
And thank you, Dusty.
Hope to see you soon, man. Love you so much.
Yeah, I love you guys. Thank you for letting me do this with you. It meant the world.
Of course. Welcome to the Challenge Fam.
Hell yeah. I love it, guys. Have a great day.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Well, that was... It was eye-opening. It was cool. Like, it was good to see. Dusty will definitely be back. Like, there's no way he's not coming back to the challenge, I feel like, unless it's his own choice.
If Dusty was a food, he would be an apple pot pie. Wait, no. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that makes sense because it's two confusing things. I meant to say he was going to be an apple pie and then chicken pot pie because, like, he's a warm Southern. Is he from the South? Is Missouri?
Missouri is not. We have been talking about a map. Don't worry, guys. I'm going to send her a map after this. All right. We're going to go to lunch, Tori, and I'm just bring a map.
He's country, right? He's country.
He's from a small town, but like the Missouri is literally in the middle of America. It's literally
of the country.
In the middle.
He's country.
Okay,
he's
country. Fine. We'll allow that. Yes.
So he's like, you know, anyway, he's like a fresh baked country meal because I do feel like, you know, even though he's got these moments that are like really raw and authentic and like maybe he'll pop off. He's a sweetie. Mm-hmm. He's a total sweetie inside.
Mm-hmm. He's a teddy bear and dust devil. It's like, it's literally two sides of that coin, which I feel like is one of the themes of this season is we're getting ready to see two sides of, I mean, we should just keep a running tally of how many people we get to see different sides of. It's really been so interesting. Now, I know we get to see another side of you, if we follow you on social media, where can people do that if they want to see another time?
My backside. You want to see my backside?
Sorry, Mom. You can turn off the episode now.
No, I really, my posts are relatively wholesome. You guys can follow me at Tori_Deal on Instagram for the wholesome content. And Devin, where can they follow you?
All my content is pretty wholesome. The most risque thing you'll see is the like wedding robe video that I posted on Instagram. That's literally, and it's not even that risque.
That I need to go see. Oh. I need to go find that.
I was feeling myself that moment. But you guys can go follow me on my website. You can go to devinsimone.com. That's Devin, D-E-V-Y-N, Simone with an I, S-I-M-O-N-E.com. Scroll to the bottom. You'll see my socials. You can also go to Instagram, Devin Simone. TikTok, I post there sometimes. If you want to be matchmade, go to my website and click the matchmaking link. So if you're single, including Ooh. Michaela, she was talking about she was struggling. You know, with Hinge, hit me up. You can be in the free database if you want or pay to work with a matchmaker. And then my Amazon, because we do lives. I'm actually doing one tomorrow. So follow me on my Amazon channel, Devin Simone's Gift Closet. You can just type that into Google and then say hi and I'll shout you out as an official Challenge Podcast listener. And so aside from that, if you like this episode, because we know you guys did, we appreciate you. Please rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And then tell a friend and a friend's friend mm-hmm. and a neighbor and a random stranger on the street. It just might brighten their day.
Yes, tell everybody. And also, don't forget, catch new episodes of The Challenge USA airing on CBS.
And then you'd already know, you're going to see us. We're going to see you right back here after that new episode for a brand new episode of MTV's Official Challenge Podcast.
Steven Spielberg.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover
inside the house there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker. The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.